Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, and, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm all right. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl and, the Broncos, getting utterly defeated by the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks for their first championship. Also, we're going to talk about the Knicks and, how they're doing so far in the season. We're recap WWE, preview the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, the rumors, MVP making his, finally speaking, after last week he was revealed as the investor. And, folks, you know the number, feel free to talk. But of course, before we talk about the Super Bowl, sad news, legendary Met broadcaster and, MLB Hall of Famer, Ralph Kiner, he passed away a few days ago. He lived, you know, a great life, you know, at the age of 91. He was there since day one of the, you know, the Mets, you know, original broadcasts with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy. And, you know, my condolences go out to his family, you know.
Sad day. It's a Met. He's a Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame slugger. It's definitely going to go into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Of course, he went into the Hall of Fame as a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, the team where he hit most of his 369 home runs through his brief 10-year major league career due to back problems. And this guy, you know, for like many years in a row, he hit, you know, he led, you know, the majors, you know, in home runs for like a, say like a 5 to 6 year span, including 1 year, I think he hit 54 home runs.
Yeah, he's one of the seven players in baseball history to have 30 home runs and 100 RBIs in his first 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was a legendary player, and as, you know, great as he was as a player, he, you know, he was equally as great as a broadcaster. Of course, he had the most notable post-game show. Of course, I'm talking about the Kiner's Corner, you know, where he interviews, you know, the players and coaches around the league. And, you know, if you're the player of the game, you know, you get a, you know, the publicity, not to mention a $100 bill for your trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good show. And, you know, he'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, definitely. One of the baseball greats.
Yep.
91 years old he was.
Yep. And, you know, my condolences go out to his family.
Yeah, my condolences. He's a great man, great baseball player, and great broadcaster as well.
Yep.
I think he, isn't he already in the Mets Hall of Fame?
I believe so. I believe he is. I should research that.
Because, you know, like he was a broadcaster for the Mets like in the 80s, right? In the 70s, 80s?
Well, from the beginning, since 62.
Okay.
He broadcast with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah.
And prior to announcing with the Mets, he announced 1 year with the Chicago White Sox in 61.
Okay.
So, you know, my condolences go out to him and, I mean, to his family and, you know, friends who, you know, who were directly, you know, affected.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, his fans, you know, his baseball fans also. But let's, you know, shift gears about the Super Bowl. And, of course,
Bowl? That you want to call that a Super Bowl?
not-so-Super Bowl.
That was unless not a Super Bowl.
Unless if you're in Seattle, it was a Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, that it definitely did not live up to the hype. I mean, 12 seconds into the game and basically, you know, that snap is the highlight of the game, man. I mean, Peyton Manning, you know, the future Hall of Famer, man. No, he didn't have it at that game.
Man, that was from that first snap, you knew things were not going to go good. After that first snap, I said, okay, you know, it's just a bad snap. And they got a safety. It's just 2-0.
Yeah, exactly.
But after that, it just went downhill from there. I mean,
oh yeah,
Broncos couldn't do anything on offense.
Oh yeah, and you know, you got to credit the Seattle Seahawks defense, which has been, you know, number one throughout the entire year. So that definitely held true.
Yeah.
But the powerful Bronco offense that led, you know, the NFL and, you know, offense, you know, they only mustered 8 points, I believe.
Yeah, it's they held them in check. I mean, they were pressuring the offensive line of the Broncos all night, and they're getting in Manning's face and deflecting passes. And their special teams did a good job also. Had that kickoff return for a touchdown.
Right.
I mean, they could – Seahawks played well all around. They played a well-rounded game, you know, on Sunday.
They basically played a perfect game, basically.
Yeah.
I mean
– that's how you need to play if you want to win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. And, you know, congratulations to them. You know, they won, you know, their first ever Super Bowl for the franchise. And, you know, away they go. You know, they're going to try to repeat. And I don't know if you know about this, but Russell Wilson, he plans on reporting to Texas Rangers spring training camp, you know, to try to make his major league debut.
Yeah, because he played baseball in high school and college. So, yeah, I mean, he's a two-sport athlete.
Yep.
So hopefully, I hope he makes it. Be the next Bo Jackson, maybe.
Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, yeah.
Yeah, good luck with him. And I think Kaepernick is also drafted, too. And I think somebody else, too. My mind escapes me. Because I think there's three quarterbacks that are, you know, drafted. That are, you know, are attempting to be two-sport players.
Yeah. I think Russell Wilson could do it. He's a good player.
Yeah. And shifting gears, you know, the New York Knicks, you know, they went to Oklahoma and, you know, basically the Thunder I'm a loss, you know, they basically dominated them.
Yeah, I didn't see most of the game because, I took a nap for like mm-hmm. 2 hours. So I woke up like in the fourth quarter and I saw that they were losing. But, yeah, I mean, OKC is a great team. They only have they only have two or three losses at home anyway. So they're tough to beat at home.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. And not to mention they whooped the Knicks earlier this year. So, earlier in the season, so.
Although last year, I think we beat them in their home court last year, right?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure. But I think we did. Didn't Jarrett Smith have like a game-winning shot or something?
I don't know if it was against OKC.
No, you know what? It might not have been. You know what? Oh, no, it wasn't against OKC. Because we did, I think somebody made like a three-pointer, his first career three-pointer to beat us with like the time ending, I think. And afterwards, at the Garden, we got our revenge and beat them up.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think last year we split. At OKC, I think they beat us on a three-pointer to end the game by some guy who never even attempted a three-pointer. I think he was like a backup, a third-string backup center or something like that.
Okay.
He had a three on us, I think, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But, you know, the Knicks, you know, who was the last team they won? I'm trying to think of the
Denver on Friday.
Right, Denver, that was it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mel, I think he had 31 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
In that game. And Portland Trail Blazers beat up on the Knicks. You know, Knicks, played well for most of the game, but, you know, the Trail Blazers, you know,
they're a better team.
The Knicks. Yeah, obviously. They are the better team, and they proved it.
Yeah, Portland had a great game on Friday also against the Pacers. They went to, like, an overtime game. So that might be a finals preview right there.
Could be, because, you know, you got two of the best teams in the NBA going at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something had to give.
Yep.
But yeah, hopefully Knicks can rebound from that because before they lost, they beat the Nuggets, they were on a three-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And now they start another one against the Thunder. So hopefully they can snap out of it.
And right now they're still like, 10 games. Well, they're 10th place, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still like a game or two behind the eighth seed right now.
Right. In the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And trying to think. What's happened? Well, I guess we'll, you know, we'll shift gears to you know, WWE.
Okay.
And of course, you know, the Shield, they're having a, you know, a feud with the Wyatt family after, you know, the Wyatt family cost the Shield had the opportunity to compete for the world, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship later this month.
Yeah, that's going to be a great matchup.
Oh, yeah. And I know it's a little early for the whatchamacallit, the preview, but I'm expecting the Shield to, you know, to lose to the Wyatt family, even though I'd prefer the Shield to win.
Oh, sorry, I'm laughing at the I'm watching the Raw replay from this side of it, and Emma dancing is so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna get into that in a few seconds, you know. But yeah, whatchamacallit, you know, the Shield, man, I think they're gonna lose. Even though I hope they win instead of you know, the Wyatt family. And there's a rumor going on that if Daniel Bryan is in the triple threat match against Batista and I would assume Orton, then the Shield, you know, would fight in a triple threat match if, you know, or if there's not a, if the world heavyweight title, you know, is in a triple threat match. So basically, the rumor is WWE doesn't think there should be two triple threat matches, but both of those triple threat matches should go down. Because it'd be interesting to see the Shield, you know, fight, you know, one against one.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I mean, well, if they do fight, you know, my money's going to be on Roman Reigns if that does happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Roman Reigns is hands down going to win.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. And,
it's going to be a good match to see the Wyatts, Shield. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Wyatts are going to probably win that.
Right, because, I mean, Shield can't get any more over. I mean, they're as popular as can be.
Yep.
For villains, I mean, there's nothing they could gain by the Wyatts. I mean, people know. I mean, everybody knows the Wyatts. I mean, the Shield is better than the Wyatt family, but you know, Wyatt needs, you know, to go up,
right,
in popularity.
Right. Yep.
And yeah, shifting gears with the Emma. Emma made her official WWE debut after making cameos during Fandango matches and dancing in the audience.
Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah, she is. But that dance is ridiculous.
Yeah, that was the most retarded dance. Excuse my French. The most... that was not a great dance, but, you know, she was cute doing it.
Yeah.
Is she gonna... So she's gonna be the sidekick to Santino now?
I have no idea. I assume she's gonna be a diva who's gonna compete by herself, I would assume.
Okay.
But yeah, I assume she's gonna have a feud with Summer Rae.
Yeah,
because she always pops up, you know, doing her dance. They always focus the camera on her, you know, during the Santino, you know, the Fandango matches. So
right,
I guess that's gonna set up a feud with her and Summer Rae, and maybe Santino versus Fandango, maybe.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I'm trying to think what else happened. You know, Orton's fighting against. You know, all members of his opponents at the Elimination Chamber. He lost to Daniel Bryan, which at the end of Raw, Kane chokeslammed them. And then afterwards, Randy Orton, he lost to, who was it? I'm trying to remember, who was it? Who did Orton lose to?
He did lose or did he win?
No, he won. No, he beat Christian, my fault. Beat Christian with an RKO.
Yeah.
When Christian was trying to, you know, like, do, like, a crossbody off the top rope, you know, Orton hit the RKO to seal the victory. And
yep.
Daniel Bryan, I think he defeated Cesaro, and then Kane chokeslammed them after the match. And then before he got chokeslammed, Cesaro hit the neutralizer, however he calls it, you know, after the match was over. And then Kane... would do a repeat of Raw and chokeslam him in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
So it should definitely be interesting what's going to go down in WWE. And, of course, MVP, he finally spoke on Thursday about, you know, being the new investor for TNA. And, you know, he basically was saying, you know, that, you know, he wants to, you know, make changes in TNA and, you know, basically, you know, fight the best competition, basically.
Yeah, he's more business-like now. It's a different gimmick now that he has than when he was in WWE.
Exactly. He's not just a, you know, an athlete. You know, he's a, you know, he's
a businessman. Yeah.
Who, you know, who's not afraid to, you know, fight in the ring.
Yep.
So that should be interesting. And, you know, MVP, you know, in another interview, he was saying that he's going to, not on the show, but, like, you know, online, he was basically saying he wants to fight Angle and, you know, Samoa Joe. You know, the staples of TNA, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it should be interesting what's going to go down. MVP, you know, as the new investor.
Yeah, it's going to be good to see.
So, anything you'd like to say?
Well, Abyss on TNA, he's took his mask off finally and able to see how he really looks like.
All right, and yes.
He was shocked by how he looks like. It's like he's never seen his face in years.
Right, because he was playing as his brother, Joseph Park.
Yeah.
So they finally revealed that Joseph Park, who's supposedly his brother, is really him. Because, I mean, everybody knew that. I mean, everybody, the wrestling fans basically knew that. But I guess TNA actually admitted that, because at that point, Abyss was missing. So his brother, quote-unquote, popped up and had a feud with you know, Bubba Ray, but Bubba Ray Dudley goes by the name of Bully Ray in TNA.
Right.
So he had a feud with him like last year with Abyss's supposed brother, you know, unmasked, you know, because Abyss was pretending to be his, you know, he was unmasked and he was pretending like, you know, he was his brother. He was Abyss's brother.
Right.
Basically.
So strange.
Now TNA actually admitted that, you know, they're one and the same.
That's a weird story.
It is a weird story, but I guess they finally revealed that.
Yeah,
now we're waiting for the authority to finally admit that they've been behind all these crazy stuff, like, you know, buying the referee and making the referee, you know, do a fast count on Daniel Bryan a few months ago to beat Orton, and then which as a result resulted in Daniel Bryan being stripped of the title.
Right, right.
Many months ago, around the summertime. So we shall definitely see what happens, and hopefully a well-deserving Hall of Famer will be announced tomorrow.
Yeah.
And one more thing. On the night of the WWE Network debuting, a legendary WWE figure will return. I guess I won't spoil it for the fans. They'll see, you know, what, a week or two? So, anything else you'd like to say?
Nope. Just check out my show, iMac, on Saturdays 11, and check out this show.